This podcast was recorded at Hartford Street Zen Center, Isanji, in San Francisco. Please help support our temple by making a donation at hszc.org.
I saw a comment by a prominent figure in the Zen world. And this person was describing the practice of Shikan Tazan. And he said, Shikan Tazan is a, he said, a type of Zazen in which you practice pure awareness. And I must say, when I read that, I actually thought, no. I don't think that's right. What do you all think? Any opinions? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
I agree.
You agree?
With you.
Oh.
How do you practice pure awareness? What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
Very odd. Okay, so I'm reassured that... you're not all out there practicing pure awareness.
Well, also implies that there are different types of zazen.
Huh?
It also implies there are different types of zazen.
Yes. Yes. Well, this is a sometime spokesperson for one of the hybrid styles, of which some of you will know I'm not a fan. And those of you who aren't familiar with what that would mean, in the Zen lineage, there nowadays anyway, there's basically two, what to say, styles. And in one style, you concentrate on some aspect of a Zen story. And in the other style, there's just sitting. So I spent a little time trying to figure out what would practicing pure awareness mean? Because presented that way, it's pretty clear it's supposed to be something you do with your, I don't know, mind? Now, this was in a glossary, so this was not an in-depth explanation. But even so, I thought, if I could edit this book, I'd change that. That explanation overlooks the fact that awareness is already pure. Again, maybe, you know, you all won't agree, necessarily. You might feel that, my awareness is definitely not pure. But if you think that, then maybe you could also do a kind of a little exercise and try and discern what's the impurity then? I wonder, could somebody bring my water bottle over here? I think I left it by the Doan seat. Thank you, John. Pure awareness. There you go. And So some of you were at Zazen here a little while ago. And even if you weren't, we could just take a moment now and if you were to let your body-mind simply be the way it is. You know, without engaging in negative or positive judgments. Let mind function as mind, or as we like to say, let body-mind just function as body-mind. And if you want to continue with the experiment, you might quickly discover that if you are looking for impurity, you will find it. Reminded maybe of Bodhidharma and his disciple, Huayca, and Huayca complaining that his mind was not settled. And Bodhidharma said, well, okay, just bring me your mind and I'll fix it. And Huayca, of course, at that moment, realized there was nothing he could lay his hands on called mind. And, of course, Bodhidharma said, there, I fixed it. So there's really nothing you can actually lay your hands on called pure or impure. And that's, that puts us in kind of a state of, unknowing, right? You can't, on that basis, you can't really advance or retreat. You can neither acquire nor jettison anything, really. And speaking of our practice in this way, we are in the neighborhood of what we call Zazen, or Shikan Taza, and some of you may not have heard that term. It's Japanese for just literally hit, but just thoroughly attend to sitting. And sure enough, if you really attend to sitting, you wind up seeing that there isn't much there. So, I don't know, if you were hoping that today you would leave the temple after our morning fun here, and you would have something that you didn't have when you arrived, I very much hope that's not true, but in fact, you will not leave thinking you have something you didn't have when you got here. And maybe that kind of place of unknowing is, you know, not so comfortable. I mean, really, isn't it better to know than not to know? Well, this is not a, how should I say, this is not a new issue. Many of our Zen campfire tales are about this place of unknowing and how awkward it can feel. Our karma practically dictates that we always be going somewhere, either towards or away. I ran across another campfire tale. Excuse me for not using the word koan, but I'm on a campaign to expunge that word from all vocabularies. So, really, they're just stories. Anyway, there was a chap named Xiao Zhou. Not to be confused with the great and famous Zhao Zhou. This is Xiao Zhou. And not much seems to be known about him. He only appears once or twice in these stories. And Xiao Zhou went up in the hall, as they say, to address the assembly. And he said, if you take a step forward, you're contradicting reality. If you take a step back, you're abandoning phenomena. If you step neither forward nor back, you're as the insentient. So one of the monastics pipes up and says, well, how can I not be as the insentient are? That is, something that neither thinks nor feels nor functions. And Xiao Zhou just says, well, carry on with your daily activities. And the monastic was puzzled. And so he says, okay, how not to contradict reality and how not to abandon all phenomena? And Xiao Zhou says, one step forward, one step back. The monastic vows. Xiaojia frowns and says, sometimes what you just did is okay, but not this time. And the monastic says, well, please, could you point it out for me directly, teacher? And Xiaojia whacks him with his stick and chases him out of the hall. So here's the teacher somehow warning us about one step forward, one step back, and no steps. And yet, in the interaction with the monastic, it seems like he's just turned around and said the opposite. It's usually best not to try and explain these stories too much, but maybe a little commentary is useful. For instance, how is stepping forward contradicting reality? Anybody? Well, oh, sorry. Did you want to say something?
I can't know the words.
Okay. Stepping forward could be seen as engaging in worldly pursuits. Stepping back could be seen as engaging in meditative withdrawal. And trying to avoid those, well, then you're just like a rock. So if we just sit here, calmly breathing and enjoying the lovely fall weather, if our teachers inform us that actually that is neither stepping forward nor stepping back nor avoiding those, then, if we trust that, maybe we actually will notice some peace. Somebody commented on this story and said, still don't understand? Look at September. Look at October. Red and gold leaves cover the mountain, fill the valley. Just by coincidence, here we are in September, almost October. Some leaves are turning. So sometimes we engage, sometimes we disengage. Sometimes we don't do either. Regardless, the life that is present at that moment, or in these moments, is the only life there is. When I run across teachings like that, I always feel like it's such a blessing. So if you think you don't understand, behold September, behold October. And to do so wholeheartedly means you will be forever freed from the burden of having to practice pure awareness, whatever that is. As the seasons unfold, they unfold here, not out there. Out there is in here, and vice versa. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if you had some questions. And if you do, I promise not to hit you, even though I have my stick. I will not hit you. Yeah.
Promise not to hit me?
I promise.
At the risk of being a heretic, don't you believe other traditions and other forms of meditation are of value and useful?
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, where we might differ is, you see, what it looks like to me is that what we call Zazen is at the heart of all of those.
Okay.
So the heart is the same, even though the sometimes called the wrapping, the packaging is different.
Mm-hmm.
There's just that one heart beating. I think I should hit myself a single. Okay. Thank you for your question.
Do you think that with the packaging, the reason there's packaging is because different people need different sort of access points, or however it is you would like to put it,
mm-hmm.
or different temperaments, or
yeah, that is a point of view, yes, and that what is it? Is it what bird is it that likes to go around stealing shiny things?
Blue jays, right?
Blue jays? Maybe more than one. Maybe because I think
magpies.
They're the arch thieves. So for magpies, shiny is good. for ospreys, fish is nice. So, yeah, it's kind of like that, I guess you could say. But whether magpies or ospreys, they all fly. Something like that.
What's the problem with the word koan?
Well, it's a little bit like our friend Rabbi Jeremy was saying about Kabbalah. It's kind of turned into something that isn't quite what it is.
Don't just stepping forward and not back. That sounds like a koan.
Well, but how do you mean that? That is, okay, what so about it is...
No, it's kind of like...
Uh-huh. Well, you know.
But like a campfire story is like, you know,
yeah,
how we did this and that. But it sounds like, you know, something you actually meditate on and you can't really figure out with your mind.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
That is very true.
Okay.
For us, these Zen stories are koans. They are about what we do already. They are about our life already. Now, some people like to take these stories and generate a head of steam. So maybe they're like the magpies, you know. And maybe we're the ospreys, or those little tiny brown birds that are everywhere, like the world around. Everywhere you go, they're little brown birds. Maybe that's how we are. Yeah.
Even though we have an awareness of the Buddhist principle of not knowing.
Yes.
Sometimes there's a great anxiety that arises in us that is hard to quiet, even though we understand in our Buddhist roots why that is there, but letting go of that anxiety becomes still hard sometimes. I don't know if that's not a question.
No, but you know, when you describe that, I recognize it in myself too. Mm-hmm. For me, that I don't know what sort of tight place opens up when I'm actually willing to be anxious, rather than it's like, oh no, I gotta get away from this. So you know, I'm not saying, okay, now you have to go be anxious. I'm just saying to meet anxiety with kind of an open heart, being willing to like, okay, yeah, well, kind of anxious today. Let's look at that. Let's see, is there anything actually there? By golly, no, I can't find anything. Now I'm even more anxious. So, <you know. laughs> I know it sounds stupid, especially nowadays, to say, you know what, there's nothing to worry about, but actually it's true. And there's a sense in which even anxiety is just sitting. Why? Because there's just the one life. Capital L, life.
Yeah. A couple of years ago or so, my mother was very ill, and we thought she might die. And I went down there with her and the family and so on. And
can you talk a little louder, David?
My mother was very ill a few years ago, and we thought she was going to die.
Yeah.
And so we all rushed to the bedside, and I was just absolutely dreading the going there. First off, my family is, well, you know, family.
Yes.
I love my mother, but, you know, it's like the idea of, like, being with someone you love who may be dying. Mm. It's like, it was really creating a lot of anxiety.
Mm.
And I was actually kind of surprised once I got there that it was really not so different from any other circumstance,
mm-hmm.
in that it just kept unfolding.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I could, it's like, oh, I feel anxious, or I feel, like you just said,
yeah.
I feel I'm afraid,
mm-hmm.
or upset,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
upset.
You could say that's why Xiaojiu said, just go on with your daily activities. This is what you're describing. And sometimes our daily activities will involve being with someone who is dying. And sometimes our daily activities will be we are dying. That's definitely going to happen.
Okay, so even though there are many things worth worrying about them might not be there.
Doesn't seem to be that helpful, you know. Most helpful thing is to talk about words failing one, to what was it, Book of Serenity story, you know that expression, the accomplishing work of great peace. It has no sign. So genuine, profound peace has no sign. That means whatever criteria you think you can advance, which will help you recognize it, forget all that. Great peace has no sign. So that's why we say weird stuff like, hey man, you're there already. Well, I'd be happy to spend the rest of the day in here with y'all, but let's go eat cookies instead. Thank you all for coming this morning. Please take care of yourselves.